morning, good afternoon, good evening, comfort killers. I am Stacey A. Cross, and there is no E in my name. And today, I have the hacker of project management, a consultant, and an all-around awesome dude. And today, just like you, I'm going to learn more about it. I have here with me today, Leon, Mr. Leon Burks. Put the junior in there.
Yeah.
Junior.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Welcome to the Get Uncomfortable podcast show, Leon. And I wanted to keep it brief in the introduction because I know we're going to expand so much right now. And I'm going to be a sponge. I'm going to ask the questions that I'm going to pull through. I know some things about you already because we had a phone call. So
yeah.
I'm gonna repeat a little bit. So I know you live in Texas.
Yeah, I'm in Houston.
You're in Houston, Texas, and you've been working as a project manager, consultant, / real estate investor, / all around dope guy since when?
Ooh. 2007.
Since 2007, you've
2007.
Been. Oh, that's not too. That's not. I mean, that's not in relativity. It's not that long ago, Ben.
It's really not. I mean, I don't want to include my army time. So, my army time, that takes it back to like 1999.
Let's go back there then. I'm going back to 1999, baby. First of all, I want to thank you for your service. We spoke about this. You know, you being so selfless and helping me get up every morning and be free, man. Brush my teeth and don't gotta duck from bullets. But, you know, some parts of Philadelphia, we're still ducking from bullets. But
yeah.
Thank you so much for your service.
No, it was my pleasure. It was absolutely my pleasure to be able to do something to do that. A reason why I did it is so my brother wouldn't have to. So it was kind of selfish part on me as well. So, and plus I wanted to jump out of airplanes. So.
And you accomplished that, right? You jumped out of planes?
Yeah, 47 times.
Wow. And what was the first time like jumping out of a plane? Shitting? You were shitting?
No, not at all. It was the second time because I knew how crazy it was.
Oh, wow. So the second time you shit yourself.
Absolutely.
No, I can say that. I can't really say that. That's crazy. So, but in speaking on, this is Get Uncomfortable. So if I'm thinking about it, the first time I'm jumping out of the plane, I want to get uncomfortable. I got so much fear that's coming through my heart, coming through my gut. How did you feel? Like, what kind of fear came up? And then how did you defeat that fear?
I'm going to be honest with you. The first time I wasn't scared. I was very excited and filled with adrenaline. And with that, I didn't think about anything else. I just knew what I was supposed to do. The second time, when the reality of what I had just done set in, then I was like, I have chosen to jump out of a flying vehicle. For what purpose? It didn't make any sense. Once I realized what I did really didn't make any sense to me, but I was doing it anyway. That's what pushed me. And so the thing is, like, I've already come this far. I've already done it once. I only have 4 more times to go before I get certified or whatever. So, but I was like, everybody else around me is doing it. I've already done it. I wouldn't be up here if I couldn't do it. So keep going.
Yeah. You know what you said that was just amazing? And I use this line for a lot of my endeavors and how to get uncomfortable. You said, it don't make any sense, but I went anyway. Right? Yeah. Same thing with business. Like, I don't know nothing. I don't know that this industry is new. I just know I want to motivate the hell out of myself and people. I don't care. I'm gonna just go anyway. So that approach, I think, will take us. Now, which part of the military were you in? Navy?
I was in the Army. I was stationed at Fort Bragg in 18th Fires Brigade.
Nice. I wish I knew military lingo. You know, like the strategy of it. I base a lot of the comfort killers, how we strategize and how we tell our audience to strategize is very militant, very military-like, and tactful. So I love that about the Army, because what if you're a leader in the Army? Do you think that leader is a great follower?
You have to be. You have to be. And it's almost like you're doing a dance the entire time, where like you're doing a partner dance sort of thing. Is you have to listen to those that you're leading so you can lead them in a way that they'll be able to follow. Mm-hmm. So You have to be able to speak that person's language. If you can't speak that person's language, or you can't instill that initial confidence, trust, and security, you're not gonna be able to do what you need to do.
Oh man, this is beautiful, man. Sign me up, babe. Hey, here's the deal, Leon. To move forward, I know you spent since 1999 to 2007. Is that the time you spent in the military? Or?
Yes.
Okay. So now 2007, you're out. What is there for Leon to do out in the big, big world as a civilian?
Yo, I had no clue. I had no clue. I was thinking about going into sales. I was thinking about doing whatever. But I was like, you know what? I have this mechanical engineering degree. Why don't I use it since that's what I went to school for? So once I did it, I looked around and I was like, what am I really doing? Like, why am I engineering anything? All this stuff has already been engineered. It's already been done.
Right.
I just done with a technical background to keep doing it. So I was like, I can do that.
Right. So you went pretty much just with whatever your degree was, and that's what you went into?
Yes. And okay. I hated it.
Okay. Well, why'd you hate it?
Because I didn't really feel like I was adding value to myself, or it didn't have really any real purpose. Like, I was making other people money and I was getting paid. As you can tell in the article, I wasn't getting paid. I was getting paid peanuts for my industry.
Yes.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to take this opportunity to learn, make connections, understand what's going on. Kind of what Mike Rashid says, feel the walls around you. But just making sure I was doing the right thing by myself. Like, I was offered multiple opportunities to get paid 75 to 100K straight out.
Yeah.
I didn't. And a part of me wanted to kick myself because you could definitely make a big difference with that versus 55, right?
Right.
So I knew one thing, I was going to be able to learn a lot. And so I chose to do that.
Yeah, and the article for Just Our Comfort Killers, the article what Leon is talking about is on our website right now. He contributed, wrote a slamming article. It's called Hacking. You could actually go on the website by the time you listen to this. Just search Hacking Project Management, Hacking PMO. We tagged all that. And tell us a little bit about that article. So just so before they go on there, what did you talk about in that article?
So basically that article is my story as soon as I got out the military. It was really just one opportunity for me to, like, you know what? I wanted to be completely authentic with people. It's something I've always done, and it's something I wish more people do, and it's something I wish a lot more companies would allow their employees to do, or at least have that open mind about how you can add revenue streams to something that you're already doing, versus being stuck and say, well, this is what you're doing, this is what you're paid to do, that's it. I took the bull by the horns, but a lot of people want to feel that they're empowered to do something, and I wanted to use that article to do that.
Yeah, and I think that article is great. It's a top-notch resource for our comfort killers, and not just in the project management space, but in any space. Using the space that you're in now and learning how to blow up and maximize your income streams. And I love it because we were talking about that. So now you got 2007. You're at 2007. You're like, man, this sucks, okay? I don't really like what I'm doing because I'm not adding value. So what happens next? What happens to you? Because usually there comes that big bang. Usually a lot of people have this big bang or this aha moment or something definitive that happens. And they're like, oh, this is what I need to do.
Yeah. Let's back up a little bit. Because while I was in the Army, I was planning on being 20 years in. That's what would happen. But I actually had a bad motorcycle accident. And so I wasn't able to do anything for 6 to 7 months. And so since I wasn't able to do anything that I loved in that space, I had to figure something else out. So I went to this, so I went and got a logistician job while I was in the Army for my last little bit. And that's what put me on the theme for understanding and learning how to manage projects and contracts.
Right. So just that little stint because of a motorcycle accident. Is it a motorcycle accident, you said?
Yep.
Yeah, so a motorcycle accident, boom, something happens. It forces you to do this other thing. You really wanted to put 20 years in because who told you that? Is that from you? You wanted to put that time in?
I was thinking long term. I was like, 40 years in, I can still do some stuff on the side because I was also in a network marketing company at the time.
Yeah.
I can get a retirement from that. Then I know I'll be broken down a little bit. I'll probably have a little bit of disability coming in as well. And then also I would have a lot of necessities already taken care of. But at the same time, I would have a lifetime of experience.
Yep.
that you just can't get anywhere else.
And just by hearing you, do you consider yourself an analytical, logical thinker or a creative thinker?
I'm intuitively driven, but I do weigh the cost.
Yeah.
I do weigh the cost. Yeah. I can get a wild hair up my butt and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing, and I'm gone.
Right.
And then I figure it out along the way. But a lot of times I just think like, what am I going to do? How I'm going to live my life 20 years from now? And let me start doing that now.
And so, you reverse engineer that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. No, I love that because, you know, being who we are with the universe and how we, you know, everything's just an aha and we're floating on a cloud and there's just rainbows outside. And when you look outside, it's sunny and you're like, man, life is amazing. And then your bill comes in the mail. And then it's like, okay, get back to reality a bit. How are you going to strategically get this money? So I love that you said you're intuitively driven. I think that's a big word there, and I love it. And for our comfort killers, I'm going to start using that word. He says he gave it to me. So now you want to be authentic. You want to add value. You got in this motorcycle accident. It leads you to doing this thing with contracts. Now, how does that tie into 2007?
Okay. I actually left in 2008, but 2007 I was getting out. Yep. And the job I looked for matched that. It had all those aspects so I could use that transferable skill and grow in what I was already doing.
Right.
And it worked for them. They liked it. I liked it. It seemed like an amazing match when I got there. So yep. I actually started in April of 2008. So I had actually, by this time, I had two paychecks coming in. Mm-hmm. And that's when I first thought, I was like, okay, I'm really having multiple revenue streams for a short period of time, and I like it.
Right.
Excuse me.
No problem. So you got this multiple income revenue coming in. You're feeling like you like where it's going. So now, is that the bug?
Yeah. That's what starts. That's what feeds the need to always figure out how can I get more.
How did you spend your money?
Oh my gosh. You know what? You're lucky I like you, Stacey. Basically what I did, I actually started working in strip clubs. I was a talent scout. And I spent a lot of time in that industry. I understood a lot of things. I'm like, some of these guys are legit businessmen.
Yes.
And a lot of them aren't. In other respects, you know, but I learned a lot about negotiations. I learned a lot about always adding tolls or upselling. I just saw a lot, but it put me in a situation where I was addicted to that space.
Mm.
So a lot of the extra money I made was lost in that space.
Right.
Actually, I pay for an education in that space.
In that space. I love how you're thinking, man. But I wish I got that same education, what I did, in the damn casinos, right? I was there, Zombieville. The only thing that I learned, you know, and I love it because it's valuable, is that the money that you go in isn't equal to the money that you're going to have when you come out. And I did a case study, right? With myself. I was walking in the casino and I looked at people walking out and they were like, you know, we're walking in, we're all smiles, we're laughing, we're freaking talking about what we're going to eat.
Yeah.
But the people coming out, their faces were doomed, man. If I just had that example to follow, I could have saved thousands of dollars, maybe.
Yeah.
So, but I love that you learned, and I'm sure I learned a lot more too, but more negative than positive. I love that you learned upselling, negotiation skills, sales. Yeah, you lost some money there, but you turned it around, you flipped it. You're in the strip clubs. That's how you're spending your money. It's all good. All right? What I'm taking from this entire thing, though, is that you pull everything out of the situation. Like, you're in the army pulling everything out of the army. You're in a shitty quote-unquote job, right? But you're figuring out how to add more value there. What is this about, Leon? Because this sounds similar to my book.
This is what this really is about is that I believe that I wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be there for a certain period of time, and that was it. And so I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in just things happening by happenstance. I figure, like, okay, I'm here for a reason. Let me extract everything I can, every lesson learned. I was taught a long time ago that you can learn something from everyone. Mm. Regardless if you like it or not, or you don't, or you don't like the situation that you're in, you can learn something from it. So I take it as a big learning point, and I learned a lot about office politics.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about, man, my throat, you got me nervous, Stacey, that's what it is. No, no, but in all actuality, I felt like I was destined for more. I'm like, this was just a pit stop. So it's like, okay, you have to learn these skill sets, and nothing, your next opportunity won't present itself until you've learned and passed the test from this previous one. So once I did that, and I was in some very, very painful spots.
Yes.
Like in the article, I referenced to being passed over for promotions.
Yes.
Based upon other people being promoted and not excelling.
Yes.
Which makes no complete rational sense to me.
Right.
Like, that's them. If you don't like them, demote them.
Right.
But people didn't want to do that. And I couldn't understand why until about 3 to 4 years later afterwards, but when I was in my next opportunity, but nothing was going on. I was doing everything that he told me to do. I was doing everything right and excelling. I was being sent offshore on these oil platforms with the wrong people, the wrong equipment, and I was, quote unquote, had to make it happen anyway.
Mm.
And so the customers ended up falling in love with me. The clients, the end users, they ended up liking me. They gave me more vacations. They paid me not to go back to my company, so wow. I could take like 3 to 4 days off. Little things like that let me know I was doing something right.
Right. Yep.
And I was unapologetic in my pricing. Then at that point, if my day rate was for, as for instance, if I got paid an additional $100 a day, I made sure I worked at least 1 minute that day. And you couldn't, like, if I got what I was supposed to do done that day and yeah. I did it, boom, that's $100. I don't care if it took me 1 minute
yep.
or 20, it never took me more than 3 hours anyway.
Right.
But
right.
I had stuff to do. And I had multiple clients. So my thing was like, if I could stay billable on multiple tickets, my bonuses would increase exponentially.
I love that. We're going to get into the bonus portion of it, because I love how you set yourself up with your bonus structure and how you were able to really add revenue and value out of one place. I love that. Comfort Killers, you're going to love this. Before that, though, it sounds like you're a problem solver, because people love problem solvers. And it sounds like you went into, you said offshore.
Most definitely. Oil. Yes.
And you took what you learned in the Army. Okay, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know what? Yeah. I'm not going to sit here, complain, blame, and try to strain this thing. I'm going to freaking put my two heads together, the two sides, analytical, creative, and I'm going to get this thing done. And the client fell in love with you because you solved their problem.
You know what's crazy about that, Stacey, yeah. is that I was with the organization and they considered that a hindrance to me being successful. My ability to see the opportunity in every situation became a negative trait, and I was told not to think that way.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely serious.
So what do they want you to think? They want you to go back to Tommy up in supply chain. And call them. What do they want you to think like?
They wanted me to say, to be the quote unquote under the realm of realism. Be realistic with what the expectations are. I was like, my expectation is to win.
Right.
That's it. So even if I'm, for instance, even if I'm late on delivery for a project, when my company's late on delivery for a project.
Yes.
So what? We're late. It's not my fault if you didn't put in penalties or stipulations based upon possible lateness.
Right.
I don't feel bad at all.
Yes.
As long as you got it and you can, here's my thing. As long as you got it and it didn't prohibit you or hinder you in any way of meeting your end goal, you should be happy.
Right. No. Okay. And I would think that the organization would be ecstatic to have someone in their organization, like such as yourself, that's able to see a problem, but don't really see the problem, see the solution, no matter how long it takes, and no matter the length and depth that you have to go through to get it done. I'm shocked that they would say that.
It's like when everybody thinks it's cool to be an entrepreneur now.
Oh, you man, know, isn't it so cool?
they really see the, it's like the Instagram effect. They want that. They want what they see, but they don't want the process that goes along with it.
I love that, because I always on Snapchat, and you're not following me on, well, you're not leading me on Snapchat, but well, that's a different call. I show them.
I have three Snapchat accounts. Leave me alone.
Well, come on. I show these guys. I'm like, yo, here's the boring stuff. Here's what they won't show you on their Instagram. Look, I'm doing accounting. Look, I'm dealing with the numbers, and I have to write this thing, because guess what? It's not all fads and taking pictures in front of cars and the end result. Baby, when these lights are off, I got to do actual work.
Yo, and those cars are rented for an hour.
Come on, Leon. Why you gotta bust their bubble, man?
It's not my bubble. If you do it in public, you should be able to get corrected in public. That's how I was raised.
You see this guy? I love him. I love you. I love you. So let's talk about, Leon, how you were able to get such big bonuses when the company wasn't even ready to give out money. At one time, they weren't even ready to give out money. You got your salary. How the hell do you end up coming up off the company? Listen to this, Comfort Killers.
Yo, so basically when I got there, they threw me in. They loved me because I'm a West Point grad. By the way, hopefully Army beat Navy this upcoming weekend, and I can rejoice when this is played. So the thing is, well, you see, you got me distracted. It's all right.
No, I'm just dancing. Go Army. Go ahead. I want to know how you got those big boy checks.
Okay, this is how I got my first one. My first one was, we were working with a government contract with my second to latest company. Just so you know, they're in the oil and gas space in their manufacturing guys. So they had an issue with closing the project.
Yep.
The one guy, he's a good guy. He's like, I got to keep the customer happy. They want this. They want this. They want this. I'm like, what does your scope say you need to provide? He's like, oh, but we were late. I'm like, so what? He's like, don't worry. I got it handed to me. I went and flew to the client, sit there and talked to him for about maybe 2 to 3 hours. He was upset for the first half of it at least. Then I was like, hey man, let's get some steaks. And I was like, what do you really want? Like, while we're having the conversation, like, what do you really want? What can we do to just close this out so we can just go into the warranty phase? And then you're happy, your bosses are happy, you guys aren't spending more money on me and people like me.
Yeah.
Like, what can we do? So he told me, like, this is what I really want. And I was like, all right, let me write this down. So I wrote it down. I was like, okay, now we're going to make this another letter of intent. If you get this, you're allowing us to close this project and go into the warranty period. Just sign date here. He was like, yes, this makes sense. Boom. Got it. Sent that back. Gave him the formal one later, of course. But I was like, production guys, give him this. Like, well, that's not in the contract. I don't care. Just get them this. And then the thing is, we stopped bleeding. The contract was closed, went into warranty period, and then we could start charging for everything else all over again. And so just be able to solve that problem and close that contract within 2 months of being in the organization, they're like, okay, this guy's different.
Right, because you straight up went and found out what they wanted.
Yeah, it's...
Why were they dancing around that?
Because they were trying to negotiate. They were trying to make a claim later against the client. And I was like, why are you doing that? I was like, well, we do this. We got ammo for this. We got ammo for this. I'm like, why are you even I'm like, you do not want that fight.
Right.
Way this is
probably Let's just get it done.
Let's just, but, there's a time to fight and there's a time to do that, but this was not one of them. And so I closed it and I was working on my other projects. And what they really liked about me, the manager that hired me was known to be a complete dick. But for some reason, everybody's like, he's nice to you. I'm like, because I don't accept anything less than the best for my team. Mm. And it's uncomfortable. Like my first, I would get a quote from my engineers or a spec from my engineers. I wouldn't even read it. And I was like, you guys can do better than this. And they're like, what's wrong with it? I was like, man, just, I don't have time for this. Just do better.
Yeah.
We'll come back with another one. And they're like, I was like, this isn't what I want. Do better. And I haven't read either of them yet.
Yeah.
And so the third one, they're like, come on, man, this is the best I can do. I got this. And I'm like, okay, now I can read it. And then I read it then. And then I was like, okay, just make this, this, and this, and we're good to go. They're like, man, even this? I was like, yeah. But the thing is, they wouldn't give me their best effort up front. They had to go through three revisions. And I noticed that was the culture of the company.
Right.
So if you're giving your own people 2 to 3 revisions to do stuff, of course you're going to give the customer 2 to 3 revisions to get stuff right.
Right.
So once they started knocking stuff out in the first revision, then I was like, okay. We already know what our project's going to look like. We've done this 40 other times. Let's have everything ready when we first meet the customer.
Right.
The first day.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, as a leader in your space, you know, regardless of what's going on, you were given a task, and no matter what, you're there to do that task. But you not only do the task, you push people, and then you push yourself.
Yeah, I was taught a long time ago, you can only expect the people you lead to do half of what you do at the most.
Love that. Love that. So let me ask you a question. Where do you get a lot of your wisdom from? Where do you get a lot? Is it through experience, or do you have mentors?
I have virtual mentors. I have real mentors. My main one is my father. I mentioned him in the article as well. He was a migrant worker.
Yes.
He was born in Florida, moved, and we went to the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And so that's where I grew up.
Yeah.
And then he went from that. I always look at his life. He went from being a migrant worker to a VP of a university.
Yep.
And I'm like, that delta is something I have to match at a minimum or at least exceed from where I start. So I look, I'm like, okay, that's where I'm starting. That's my starting point. Now, what can I do that gives me the same impact over my lifetime?
Well, you know, I love that, because it seems like you came in with a big ass goal on your shoulder to either meet at minimum or exceed. And that's when you were younger. And so I love that, because a lot of people don't even get goals until they're old. They have nothing to live up to, right? So what about your goals? Do you write goals down every day? Are you a goal guy?
I'm a targets guy.
I love that.
So you have 50.
That's why I love this military. 200. That's why I love the military stuff, man. I'm all about targets. Sorry for yelling in your ear, man. I see you.
You're good.
I love targets.
Like, when it comes to my goals, like, everybody has a conversation. What are your 5? What are your 10-year goals? I'm like, dude, what is your end state? Where are you going to be at the end of 3 months from now?
Right.
Like, people don't even knock it down to the hours of the day and activity levels. So the thing is, like, if you can't do that, you're hoping. Like, hope is not a method. That's one thing I was taught when I was very young. My dad taught me a lot of things. You know, being a black male, a lot of times growing up, you're taught you have to be 2 to 3 times as better to get half of what everyone else gets.
Right.
And I was like, I don't like that, but if I can accept that as a reality of anything I want to do in life, then I have to at least put 3 to 4 times the amount of value in what I'm doing to at least get recognized.
Right. So, I love, who are you? Are you me? Because I love that, because at the end of the day, we deal with targets. Every day I get up, and in this pattern here, it's targets. There's targets written down here. But at the end of the day, I love that. What books are you reading now for our comfort killers?
Oh, man, I'm going through Sell and Be Sold for the third time. Dude, I'm a Grant Cardone fan right now. Like, most of my books are his.
Yeah.
I mean, The Closer's Handbook. Another one, which is great for me, is Motivation Manifesto. I love that book. There was one I just finished called Untethered Soul.
Yeah.
That's a great book as well. Like, everybody reads The Love Languages, or the quote-unquote business, like, people start out with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and stuff like that, which are great books. Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't fit my personality. Like, I need books where people are not afraid to cuss me out through the books.
Right. And you know what? At the end of the day, there's one book that everyone always answers to. Like, what's your favorite book that got you where you are with your mindset? And they all pick, everyone.
People probably say think and grow rich, aren't
they? That's it.
That didn't do it for me.
Hey, who are you, man?
That didn't do it for me.
There's a specific piece that book intentionally left out, that The Secret didn't say. And I figured it out, and I'm like, man, what are you guys going to think around and meditate all day? Or are you going to get up and do some action?
You know what? There's a book out there. I forgot the author is, but I read it in college, and it's called Ranger School, No Excuse Leadership. And it really means you're responsible for everything that happens to you. You're a summation of all the decisions and all the actions and inactions you haven't done, or you have done up until this point in your life.
Yep.
So once you accept ultimate responsibility for that, everything else changes. And the funny thing is, I hate to talk about mindset. I really do. Yeah. Because I feels like I could be doing something else besides talking about it. Yeah. So, but I absolutely, books, I'm an avid book reader. I try to read 5 to 6 books a month. And sometimes I reread it because I feel like I missed something in the book. And I was like, I'll reread to make sure I found it.
But, When I interviewed Grant Cardone, I told him, man, I read the same book. If I get value out of it, I read it like 4 or 5 times. Like, I'm still, this is my 4th time on Obsessed. Like, I did like 8 times on 10X. Like, that's the type of person I am. Like, I will listen to the same piece of vinyl song forever. I am. I'm able to move on. So he goes, Stace, you know what he said. He's like, you got to upgrade the technology. But at the end of the day, that's just how I am. And I pull everything. I extract everything out of that piece. And what I want you to do is tell our comfort killers, if they're in the same boat, they're working 9 to 5, right? They're getting the $50,000 a year. And they just don't know where the rest is coming from or what to do. Do you have any advice for them?
I absolutely do. Yep. Go into a closet, literally go into a closet, turn out the lights, and ask yourself, if money was no objective to anything I want to do, what would you be doing? It could be sleeping, doing whatever, like, what would you be doing? And what can you do in your current situation that's going to get you closer to that? I mean, that's what started with me, with my whole thing. And then when I look around, I'm always looking for an opportunity to, what can my company, or if I'm currently working 9 to 5, what can my company do that can add value to the customer, and what can we sell? Like, what can we monetize, or what are we not monetizing that we should? I hate it. I personally hate it when I hear people saying, oh, we have to give that away to the customer, or we have to sell this at a loss to get this. And I was like, I refuse to believe that.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that. If you want to do that because it gets you in the market, whatever, but I look at it like this. If you don't respect your product enough to sell it for what it's worth or the value, I'm like, that customer won't respect you or that product.
Right.
So like how I did it, like, one of my things is that I was like, well, I know I'm good at training people and walking people through stuff. I've done it for free. I was like, why don't I negotiate an additional training bonus for the amount of people I've trained over the course of the year, and I get paid only when they pass the test and when they're successful.
Yes.
So I'm not asking for money up front when I'm already getting paid, quote unquote, a stipend, right? Yeah. I'm asking for everything else to be performance oriented.
Yeah. No, that's what I was mentioning. Well, with the story you told me with this whole bonus thing is, you know, you bringing it to, bringing it to the people that's got the money, the cash cow, and you're like, listen, I'm not asking it for you now. Like, I'm not asking for money from you now. I'm asking if this thing works out, if they close the deal, because you know what? They don't even believe in you anyway, so you might as well go up to them and say, hey, listen, this is what I could do for our customers and our clients, and then get that big-ass bonus from them.
Yo, I was so mad I didn't ask for more money at that last one, though. Like, the thing is, as you go through the article, you can see how I reposition myself in informal authoritative positions, because I didn't want to have to go through, I wanted to shortcut HR.
Yes.
I don't want to say, oh, now you have these people reporting to you, I want this. I was like, oh, you want to make me a team lead? Okay, I'll lead your team, but I don't want that in my job description.
Right.
I wanted to stay an IC that had multiple roles in a company without having to go through HR. and get paid for those multiple roles. So when people pass the test, or I had a training class for people to get their PMP, like if 100% got paid, I got, if 100% passed, I got like $20,000.
Yeah.
If on the first time.
Right.
If 50% passed, I got $10,000, and it graduated like that.
Yeah.
So it behooved me for everyone to pass on the first time. Also, if when I was training other people on scheduling, I did that one only because I didn't get initial money for that, for that training.
But yep.
My payoff for that was instituting it as a standard practice and process in the company. So that way, after this implementation was done, then I was going to be paid on that as a residual. But also, one thing is, like, find an easy problem. Like, my biggest thing was find an easy problem that you can solve and only you can see.
Mm.
So they have to come to you to solve this problem. And make it, and market the problem like it'll be the end of the world if they don't solve it.
Mm.
So the thing is, you're like, I have the solution. So why don't you solve for it? So I'm like, because it's not my job description. But for me to solve it, I want this. I will solve this problem for you, but I want this in return.
That's it.
And I never ask for anything up front. Always make it results-based where you already have your current income stream. And then once we did that, I ended up having, they ended up spending like $60,000 to $70,000 on this software, this implementation. I did it for a year. And plus I was solidifying myself as an expert and train these people. Then once he started getting successes, like I said in the article that's on your website,
yep.
I became an absolute advocate for the people that were doing it right.
I love it because I just took a lot of notes, and hopefully our comfort killers, our listeners and our audience are taking notes, results based, asking yourself, what can my company do to monetize? What can we sell right now? And what problem, small problem, even smaller or large, but it's solvable by you. You make it like at the end of the world.
Yep.
Right? The end of the world if your company, boss, owner, whatever, doesn't fix this problem. And you are the person to go through it. Big reader right here. Just quickly, what are you doing now?
What I'm doing now is that I help companies bridge the generational gap between their Gen Xers and their millennials. And I'm a millennial advocate in that respect. I also solve a lot of clients' problems with their projects my clients I have now are, I'm their project recovery expert. I give them finding lost revenue. One client I've solved the problems, they received $600K back from a claim.
Yep.
And another one I just found like last month, they found $1 million that they were spending that they didn't have to spend. And another client, I saved them $17 million in penalties.
Fucking love them. I love him. I love you, man.
But also, one of my passions is digital and social media marketing. So I staff my own digital agency. And so we help turn, quote unquote, I hate to say this because it might be copyrighted, but Billie Jean uses it. I don't care. They turn their like into customers and consumer and their advocates. So through reputation management and also Facebook ads.
That's awesome. So what does your day to day look like? You got up today. I know I see you in the Stogie bar. I see that today, but what is your, give me your 24 hours.
My normal day to day is I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and then I read for 6 hours because I know Warren Buffett reads 5 to 6 hours. So I read for 6 hours. So by 9 o'clock, I'm done with my reading and everybody else is getting started. So that's when most of my clients are up and active. So, usually I do follow ups on Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 to 4.
Yep.
Any other time I'm trying to produce content, and if I write my targets down the night before I go to bed, I write my targets for the next day.
Yep.
After that, I'm just grinding out. Like if I get a new idea, I always write it down. And then I'm just going through and I always think, I was like, what are the three things that are going to grow my business? And that's having, for me, it's having strategy sessions, meeting with clients, solving a client's problem, and my marketing efforts. And one thing I would love to do is always like to connect with people. So if someone stops me and wants to have a conversation, I will stop and have that conversation, be completely present with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, and then I asked for the referrals. Then I don't care what they do. I asked for the referrals. I want to make sure I add value to everyone. Sometimes my days go a long, long time. Some days I get like 2 hours of sleep.
Yep.
The other days, I'll bust out and get 8 to 10.
Yeah.
It all depends. Yeah. But I really just want to make sure I'm consistent. I make sure I have my activity. If I'm not getting what I want, I readjust my I do the ready, fire, aim approach.
Yep.
So if I go in a general direction, I can adjust along the way. But my thing is, I just want to make sure I'm always adding value. I'm making decisions off the most of the material I'm reading. So that's why I read 6 hours in the morning.
Yep.
I'm making my decisions based upon what's in the best interest for my client that I can monetize. And looking out and connecting with people like you, Stacey.
Man. Thank you so much. I mean, I love your day because it reminds me so much of my day. You know, I gotta probably get up a little earlier, but it reminds me of my day because I do a lot of personal developing, a lot of self-improvement. I read a lot. I'm reading 4 books right now, and it's all about content and building my business. But they won't show you this on Snapchat. They're not going to show it to you in the pictures on Instagram. You will see Gary Vee come up, and he's running from point A to point B, and he's talking about hustle, hustle, hustle. But then when he's in the meetings, the door is closed, and it's down to actual business. So I appreciate your day, man. I appreciate that. Hopefully our Comfort Killers is listening up. Maybe they're spending their day. They're waking up at 10, 11 in the morning, and they're realizing they're already lost, man. You already lost the war, bro.
10, 11, I'm already 8 hours ahead of you.
That's what I'm saying. There's people here that are already way ahead of you as far as strategic thinking and got your strategy pulled in and as well as your targets written down. This is every day, man. I'm playing chess, man, with these people playing checkers.
Okay. Yeah, and also, just so your listeners know, I am a consultant and I do coach people because I'm a one of the biggest things I did because I wanted to get better for my team members. In my personal development thing, I became a John Maxwell certified coach, trainer, and speaker.
Yep.
So in doing that, I learned so much more about myself. And then I realized what I was doing was not in my purpose at the company I was working with. And so that's why I had to step out on my own.
So you weren't on purpose and you decided to jump on your own. I love that because that's why I did that picture in your article. You see, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that one was, ooh, yeah. I was so happy when I did that.
I'm gone, babe. I'm doing my own thing. I'm at that perfect point right now, too, my friend Leon. Yeah, I'm going to give you 3 words. And the first thing that comes up in your head, in your either the analytical side, the creative side, whatever, the first word that comes up when I mention these 3 words, you just shoot it out. The first word is money.
Resource.
Media.
Gold.
Content.
King.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Comfort Killers, I am Stacey A. Cross. Man, it was a pleasure being with my friend, my good friend, Leon Burke Jr. How could they reach out to you? How could they find you on all the socials?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Leon Burks. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Leon BJR. You can even find my personal account at Leon BJR.
Yes.
You can find my business, Executive Millennial Consulting Group, at www.executivemillennial.com. And we also have millennial.exec on Instagram.
Yes.
So you can reach out and talk to me, find whatever. If you need help, you know anyone else that needs help, I can sit down and schedule some time with you and just nug out what you need to do for your business initially. And if you like it and it gives you the results you need, feel free to contact me. We can work together for a long term.
I love that. So there you have it. John Maxwell, certified coach and trainer, wrote an amazing article for the Comfort Killers entitled Hacking Project Management, Hacking PMO, #PMO. And also a good friend of mine, we didn't get into the real estate part, but I'm going to leave that for part 2.
Yes, please do.
I'm going to leave that for part 2. Let January come around first, okay? Yes.
That'll work.
And so I'm happy to have you on. Thank you so much for getting uncomfortable with Stacey A. Cross. I am. Enjoy your Ray. I meant enjoy your day, but.
I know what you meant. I know what you meant. And there's no E in your name.
There ain't no E in it.
All right, thank you.
All right, take it easy. Right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, I'm here.
Dopeness.
Yeah, that was good, man. I just had a press.